And if you've got an outline tonight, as we're coming to the home stretch here in Jude, we've entitled our message tonight right out of the text in verse number 17, Beloved, Remember. Beloved, Remember. In our introduction, with our verses of study tonight, verses 17 through 19, Jude concludes the longest division of the epistle. And we have there the first bullet point. Part 1 is the introduction. Okay? Part 1, the introduction. And of course, that's verses 1 and 2. Jude introduces us to himself and also the salutation of verse 2. Part 2, second bullet point there, occasion of the epistle, the apostasy. Okay, occasion of the epistle is the apostasy, and we find that in verses 3 and 4. Okay, part 3, historical instances of apostasy. Historical instances of apostasy. And we talked about that, of course, over and over throughout this study. We talked about unbelieving Israel and the angels that sinned and Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? These are the historical instances of apostasy. Part 4 in the part that we're in right now, concluding, apostate teachers described. Apostate teachers described. And that's verses 8 through 19. And a good barometer there when you look at it, when it says these in verse 10, these in verse 8. We talked about verse number 16. These are murmurs, talking about current apostates, okay? And then part 5, true believers assured and comforted, which will be in the verses we'll get into in the coming weeks here, verses 20 through 25. And that's the division that C.I. Schofield has in his Schofield Study Bible. I don't always agree with every note in every study Bible, but this is a good one. Amen. This is a good breakdown of the book of Jude. Okay, the conjunctive word but, okay, the conjunctive word but in this passage literally takes us from the dark world of apostasy to the bright light of God's love and care for His children. The conjunctive word but in this passage literally takes us from the dark world of apostasy to the bright light of God's love and care for His children. If you look at verse number 16, that description of, we talked about last week of spotting an apostate, and it says that they're murmurers, they're complainers, they walk after their own lust. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person and admiration because of advantage, but beloved. Amen? I like that. But beloved. Talking to His children. Amen? You know, the fact is that God does care for His children. Amen? By the way, God cares for the apostate. He wants them to get saved. The Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But He pays special attention as He's gone through this long, dark hallway of apostasy. He comes to light and says, but beloved, remember. Remember. Looking at your outline here, verse 17 continues with the word beloved. Beloved. Okay? And we have here just some notes here. This is the Greek word agapetos. Agapetos. Okay? And it means beloved, esteemed, dear, favorite, or worthy of love. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, through the blood of Christ, that's the way God sees you and me if we're saved. He sees us as beloved. He sees us as esteemed, or dear, or favorite, or worthy of love. Take the thing that you love the most and multiply it times about a billion, and you'll just be scratching the surface for God's love for you and me. Praise His dear name. Amen. It is used 62 times in the New Testament. It is used 62 times in the New Testament, that word, agapetos, and is translated as beloved 47 times in your King James Bible, dearly beloved 9 times in your King James Bible, well-beloved 3 times, and dear 3 times. It is translated as beloved three times in Jude. And we left you a blank line there. Verses 3, 17, and 20. The word beloved, agapetos. You see it there? Verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. Our text here, verse 17. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken down in verse 20. But beloved, building up yourselves. So God uses that term here three times in the book of Jude. Jude then encourages the believers to remember. Look at our text, verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Point number one tonight, remember the words concerning apostates. The words concerning apostates. Verse number 17, verse 18. Okay? Looking at your outline here, verse 17 is an important verse regarding the fundamental doctrine of the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. Verse 17, it says, But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken. Very important, okay? Remember the words which were spoken, okay? And that is that God inspired man what to write. Man was not left to his own imaginations or thoughts, but was rather guided all the way and in every word by the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I can believe that this Bible is an every word Bible and this Bible is free from error is because sinful man was simply God's pen. He didn't do the thinking. It did the writing. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, when I take this pen and I write down something on the paper, the pen does what my mind tells it to do. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God is the author of the Bible. Not Peter, not Paul, not Matthew, not Mark, not Luke. God, the Holy Spirit, inspired holy men of God what to write. And that's why when you look at that passage, it says, remember the words which were spoken of the apostles. Very important. Okay? And I give you some references there, good verses to look up, talking about God's pure word and Matthew 4:4, an important verse. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So important that we have in our hands the perfect word of God. Thank God for it. Amen. The words concerning the apostates. On the second page, the apostles warned of the apostates. Say that five times fast. Amen. That's a tongue twister. The apostles warned of the apostates. And number one there, we have the apostle Paul. Okay, the apostle Paul. If you want to go back to Acts, hold your place there in Jude. Acts chapter number 20. I know we've looked up this verse before. It's an important verse. Goes right along with the book of Jude. Acts chapter number 20, in verses 29 and 30. And it says here, For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That is Paul's warning of apostasy. If you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, heading back towards Jude, 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writing here to Timothy speaks of the doctrine of apostasy. It says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That word right there means to apostatize, to have never gotten it. Amen. They'll depart from the faith in those latter days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. perilous times shall come. If you go down to 1 Timothy 4, we didn't list it, or I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 4, verse number 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Ladies and gentlemen, the prophecy of Paul has come true in our day. Amen. We live in the day where people do not want to be preached to. It's just that simple. Brother Sammons, that's why the cotton candy churches are packed out on Sunday morning. But you could hear a cricket on Sunday night. They don't like to be preached to. It's all got to be good. It's all got to be love. Listen, as your pastor, I'm commanded to preach the whole counsel of God. There are times when we preach heaven so sweet that we want to go there. And there are times we preach hell so hot that we thank God we're not going there. Amen? That's the whole counsel of God. But Paul warned of this apostasy. Not only Paul, but Peter. Peter, go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Making your way back to Jude. If you get to 2 Peter, you're almost there. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Both of these apostles, Paul and Peter, warned of apostasy. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Down in verse chapter number 3, verse number 3. It says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." Ladies and gentlemen, apostasy in the Bible is nothing new. It goes all the way back to Cain. Amen. Cain, the first apostate that thought he could do things his way, offer the labor of his hands before God. But God said, "No, no, the way to me is through the blood." Amen. And Abel made that perfect sacrifice of the lamb, amen, picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the signs on your outline here, one of the signs of the end times are mockers. Mockers. And certainly there are many mockers in our day. I heard a funny story about that. A man got up on his soapbox and got to just railing against God and how God didn't exist. And if you're really real, you'd knock me off this platform if you really existed. And he began to go on and on and on and on. And all of a sudden, a young man with his football pads on came up and just bang, tackled that man. And he said, "What'd you do that for?" He said, "God was busy, so he sent me." Amen. I like that. Amen. I like that. Amen. There's mockers in our day. There's people that mock apostates. This is the Greek word here, ematiktaste. You try and say that one. Amen. Brother Blanky, help me with that one later. Amen. There's a Greek word. It means to play with, trifle with, mock, delude, and deceive. It's a very interesting word. It is only used two times in the New Testament. This word here for mockers in our text, it's also used in 2 Peter 3:3. 2 Peter 3:3 for the word scoffer, and it's translated scoffer. Okay, what do they mock? If you go over to 2 Peter 3:3, there's four things in the text here that we can see that the apostate mocks. In verse number 4 of 2 Peter chapter 3, something they mock is the imminent return of Jesus Christ. The imminent return of Jesus Christ. Look what it says there. "And saying, where is the promise of His coming?" Remember, these are mockers. These are scoffers. They're not really interested in when He's going to come back. They're interested at mocking that. "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." They say, so they mock those of us that believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And I believe these are going to be those that have heard the gospel. And when the Lord comes back, the Bible says the door is shut. Just like God shut the ark And you read the parable of the 10 virgins. Those virgins that didn't have any oil in their lamps, representative of the Holy Spirit, they banged on the door and they said, "Let us in." They said, "Sorry, door's closed." And that's going to come a time where the Bible says that because they believed a lie, that God is going to send strong delusion. They receive not the love of the truth and they'll believe a lie. They mock the imminent return of Christ. "Hey, I'm glad I can sing 2 weeks from tonight, or 2 weeks from Sunday, a week from Sunday, whenever it is, amen, 10 days from today, when we're going to teach on the rapture of the church, and we're going to preach and we're going to sing, 'Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again.'" Amen. I'm glad I believe that. Amen. I'm glad that the Word of God teaches that, but the scoffers, they mock it. They mock it. Something else, according to verse 5, they mock the literal creation of all things by God. Look what it says. "For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Ladies and gentlemen, God, by simply speaking, created everything. You know what the apostate does? They mock that. They mock that. "Oh, you funny mentalists. I'll tell you, you believe that. I'll tell you, you bought the farm years ago." And they call us funny. See, we simply believe that there's an all-powerful God that's bigger than we are. They believe that when you put nothing to nothing, you get something. Which is a lot more ridiculous to me. You can put nothing in a glass case, seal it up, and you know what's going to be in 1,000 years? Nothing. That's what it's going to be. And to get something from nothing is a physical impossibility. It defies the law of thermodynamics, but they say we're crazy. They mock us. Something else, verse 6, that they mock. It says, "Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." They mock the flood of Noah, don't they? By the way, the flood of Noah is the key to understanding the age of the earth. Amen? Things don't always continue as they were, as it says in our text. That's why you've got fish skeletons on mountains. Because there was a flood, amen? Because there was a worldwide flood. And God literally shook the earth like we would that snow globe, amen? And everything settled. But they mocked that. Something else, and saddest of all that they mock, is in verse 7. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." They mock the coming judgment of God, don't they? They mock the coming judgment of God. Mockers slash scoffers are willingly ignorant to things of God. And this is very important, ladies and gentlemen. It is not that they cannot believe. It is that they will not. And you want a reference there? Put John 5:40. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Ye will not come unto me that you might have life." He didn't say you couldn't. He didn't say you weren't able. Thank God, whosoever will may come. Amen? But they wouldn't. They refused. And when you write an epitaph for an apostate, probably the greatest one we could write, Brother DeCamp, is "Refuse the grace of God." Refuse the grace of God. Looking at your outline here, the works performed by apostates in verse 17 and 18. The works performed by apostates, number 2. Over and over in Jude, the reader is warned of the works of apostates. And we talked about this. Look at verse 8, verse 10, verse 4, verses 15 and 16. They talk about the apostates and what they are and what they do. They defile the flesh. They despise dominion. They speak evil of dignities. You go on into verse 10. It says, "They speak evil of the things they know not. They corrupt themselves." And it goes on and on. We gave a large list last week. We'll not take the time to go over that whole list here. But here are the last four. Here are the last four works of the apostates performed here in our text. Number one, we've talked about it extensively, mocking the Word of God. If you've ever heard an apostate preacher, you know him as soon as you hear him. I'll tell you what, I've heard some. I've heard some that belittled the church of God. I heard some that belittled the blood of Jesus Christ. That's an apostate, ladies and gentlemen. These are truths that true Christians hold as fundamental. And they mock them. They mock the Word of God. Not only mocking the Word of God, number two, walking after their own ungodly lusts. Look what it says there at the end of the verse, verse 18. They walk after their own ungodly lusts. Verse number 8. Look what it says there. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Okay? Verse 16. They're murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Their lust dominates who they are. They give no room to the Spirit or to the Word of God. It's just moving by lust, like an animal, like a shark that gets a sniff of blood, like a lion on the plains, that they're just motivated by their own lusts. That's an apostate. Something else, not only mocking the Word of God and walking after their own ungodly lusts, separating themselves. Separating themselves. And that doesn't mean just standing out away from people. It carries the idea of causing divisions. And I have the reference there, Psalm chapter 2. You know, Psalm chapter 2 was when they had counsel against the Lord and against His anointed, and they said, let us break their bands asunder. Why do we have to be controlled by the Spirit and by this book? Why can't we just live things our own way? And just like in Judges, that when there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's the way they think. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says they're carnal. They cause divisions. I have a quote here. Apostate scoffs at the law of God, denies the authority of the Bible, lives outside the boundaries which true believers respect. In so doing, he causes divisions within the church. And that is the goal of an apostate, to divide the church of God. To divide and conquer. And listen, much apostasy in our day has done that. I'm told that 47 churches every day close their doors. 47 churches. Many of you have told me of good churches in this area 40 and 50 years ago that are now either completely apostate or their doors closed long ago. Sad. Sad. The fourth characteristic here, or work performed by an apostate, is in verse 19. It says, these be they who separate themselves sensual. And that is living sensually. That word carries the idea of naturally, fleshly. We put 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man. He cannot receive the Spirit of God. Why? Because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God. He's natural. The natural man doesn't understand a supernatural book. Amen. Praise God for the supernatural author that lives inside of us, amen, that helps us to understand. And that brings us to the last point, number three, not only the words concerning the apostates and the works of the apostates, but the why of the apostates. Really, really, what's the real down and deep reason for apostasy? Apostates, looking at your outline, commit some of the most despicable acts and say some of the most heinous words against God. But what is the real reason for the way apostates act? Look at verse 19. Last four words. Literally sums up apostasy. Having not the Spirit. Having not the Spirit. Romans 8:9 says, but if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. You're none of His. If you can sin and sin and sin and sin and enjoy it, not feel any conviction of the Holy Ghost, I wonder about your salvation. I wonder about your salvation. Again, I'm not your judge. I'm just a fruit inspector. Amen. A good tree brings forth good fruit. An evil tree brings forth evil fruit. Amen. That's just as simple as that. But, and I know we can fall into sin. We're all human. We've all got flesh on us. Amen. We battle with the sin. But if you can just sin and go right on with your life and not care about what God thinks, I'll tell you, I wonder if you really have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. I wonder. Oh, can we quench Him, Pastor? Yes. Can we grieve Him? Yes. But praise the Lord, He's the one that dwells in us. Looking at your outline, they do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. They do not have the Holy Spirit. That is apostasy at its very, very worst. They do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. The man or woman who does not have the Holy Spirit living inside them is a lost man or woman. That simple. Pastor, I do good things. Listen, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. That's what the Bible says. Amen? That's what the Bible says. It says, the Holy Spirit convicts man of his lost condition. The Holy Spirit convicts man of his lost condition. John 16:8 says He reproves the world of sin. Thank God for that ministry. Amen. Thank God that when I sat under the preaching of the Word of God and I had my head bowed in the invitation, it was the Holy Spirit that said, that's right. You know you're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. You know you've broken God's law. Oh, I'm thankful for the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. He not only convicts man of his lost condition, He regenerates the man who trusts Christ. Titus 3:5 tells us. The regeneration literally births us again. Thank God for the second birth so we can avoid the second death. And all God's people said, praise God. He not only convicts man of his lost condition, He regenerates the man who trusts Christ. He baptizes that man into the body of Christ. We become part of the church of God through that baptism. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, not through the water baptism, but He baptizes us into the body of Christ. He seals and indwells that man unto the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Praise God, when you got saved, God sealed the envelope. Amen. And when you seal an envelope, the contents are secure inside. Amen. And I'm so glad I'm secure because of the Holy Spirit's sealing ministry. He seals and indwells that man unto the day of redemption. He teaches that man. John 14:26 tells us that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Teaches us all things. And He leads that man. And he may be led of the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14. And we'll close with these two lines here. Sad lines, but very, very true. The apostate does not have the Holy Spirit because he has refused God's simple plan of salvation and is therefore lost. By the way, we've said it before, we'll say it again. Whosoever will may come. But you got to be serious. Amen. I think sometimes people have come and they've made that profession. They're that ground with no root. They just did it maybe because somebody said you should or this or that and how important it is that we're thorough with people when we deal with people about their eternal soul. Because, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if a person doesn't mean business with God, they can apostatize. And how important it is. I knew people in Bible college that got saved in their senior year. Because they said, I've been playing a game. And it's just not worth it. And I don't know. Perhaps you're here tonight and you may know somebody that's like that. Maybe that's you. I don't know. I don't know why God would have us to speak on such a subject and this idea of apostasy and apostates. But they creep in. They creep in. They sneak in. God help us to stay true to His Word that are His children. Let's stand.